guys, welcome to episode 42 of Inside the Cage. Scott and Mark with you, as always, reliable as ever. How are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. How's yourself?
Aye, no bad.
Good weekend, man.
It was alright, Saturday night was good, man. A few beers, barbecue. Mark hosted a nice barbecue because he had a new big fancy barbecue. We were cooking and certain.
I was desperate to use it.
It was, I was rough, man. But I don't know if I was really, I don't genuinely think we were that drunk.
I think tired, this was more.
I was absolutely good. I fell asleep in the taxi before we got to the end of your road.
Oh, you did leave my house at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, the time went past pure quick.
It flew, I
was in your house for 10 hours. 10 hours.
Shut up.
How was football on Sunday? Well, you were playing football on Saturday as well. We had a lot on the
Sunday, man. Jesus Christ, that was tough going.
And you had a busy weekend. You had the debut of the new season as well.
First game of the season. Aye, Thistle at Madoon as usual.
Yep, nothing new there.
Yeah, no disappointments. Can't be disappointed when your team's shite, can you? I mean, so happy days. Good weekend.
Okay, let's get right in about it. UFC on ESPN, Covington versus Lawler, also known as UFC on ESPN 5, from the Prudential Center in New York, New Jersey, went down on Saturday night. And
what a time for British viewers and stuff like that. It was absolutely
great.
It was brilliant to see.
What a time to start. Like, I mean,
it
was
great. I was at a barbecue, so I didn't see you fucking any live.
Aye, well, we watched it, we caught up. Start right at the top.
Yes. Wonderful performance. Still don't like him as a human being. As a fighter, he's absolutely superb.
This was, we kind of briefly chatted earlier on, and I'd said to you that we talked a couple of weeks ago about a performance by a certain Leon Edwards, and we said it had loads of, that he took it to a different level against an old good competitor, and he made it seem like he was going to be the next big thing in the welterweight division. Colby Covington did exactly the same thing.
He did.
Robbie Lawler was terrible in this fight. Now, okay, that's only maybe the argument for Leon Edwards to be better than Colby was the fact that RDA didn't have a really bad fight, whereas Lawler did. Lawler did nothing for 25 minutes.
Made really bad.
I mean, ruthless Robbie Lawler, yeah, he's going to have to change his nickname because, I mean, that was just...
It's the way Colby fights it. Nobody can deal with that pressure and deal with it. And I was just hoping, as I said at one point, it was like, you see his skill level? So such a simple thing. A jab, a cross, you have to get the hands up protecting yourself, and then obviously you don't see a takedown, it takes you down. Then he lets you get back up, then he takes you down again, then he lets you get back up.
18 takedown attempts and 500 significant strikes in 25 minutes is fucking crazy. He is relentless, mate. It was, I'd never seen him. I honestly can't remember watching him fight before. I know we reviewed, what was it, Uruguay last year? What was it last year? Argentina last year? He fought in that, did not fight Ponzinibbio.
No.
Where did he fight? He fought somebody, not?
He's not fought since we started this show.
Oh, God, right, okay. Well, I don't
know. Last fight he had was RDA when he won the Interim Welterweight Championship.
I don't remember ever watching him fight, to be honest. And ridiculous, mate. Absolutely, utterly, utterly ridiculous. It was tremendous. It was such a good performance.
Do you know, the only thing, fair enough, I can understand how brilliant it was. And it was superb and fair play and the purist and all that. It was just brilliant to watch. But do you want to know something? I got a bit bored.
Yeah, I mean,
I think because he made the fight, he was that good that Lawler couldn't make it a fight.
But then why were you not bored watching Edwards? Because that was domination. Was it because
it's probably the type of domination?
Because Edwards was different. He used loads of different skills and tools and kept
mixing
it up.
Probably helped. I actually like Edwards.
I'm starting to like Colby, man. I'm not sure I like the whole... I think he's trying too hard to be controversial and all that stuff.
He's Kurt Angle music in the way in was absolutely superb.
Amazing.
What a shout out.
He asked Angle if he could use it.
It was amazing. It was just brilliant. It took me back to the old days, 15 years ago. Aye, it was brilliant, did, man. I felt Wayne again watching that. It was
proper
brilliant.
It was really good.
Fair play up. He's said, you can't argue him. He's absolutely superb. I didn't like his comments at the end. I thought that was a bit much with Matt Hughes.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to try to be controversial. That's the thing. He's trying to be controversial.
There's a line and he crossed that line for me.
100%.
So far crossed that line.
It's ridiculous.
This is a man, alright, I'm not saying Matt Hughes is any sort of saint, but he's been through a lot of shit.
Aye, and you don't bring up the fact that the guy nearly died, you know what I mean? Like, it's not cool, man. It is not cool. Can't defend it. Can't defend it at all. Really
no,
can't.
But I actually didn't mind the bit where he told the crowd not to shut up. That was fine. I don't mind that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, if the crowd's booing him after winning, it annoys me.
It's gone to harm, but certain people, it's just gone to harm, and Kobe's one of these guys that no matter what he does in that octagon, he'll be standing there as champion one day and he'll still be getting booed.
Mm.
And it's just, it's that persona he brings across. People just don't like it.
I thought he was absolutely brilliant.
I'm not arguing with a performance. Like, you can't argue with a performance. It was absolutely sensational. It was brilliant. And I was good to see. I've seen a wee bit of the post-fight show of him and Usman with a wee bit of snapping back, a wee bit of argy-bargy. Usman get this jacket off and all that. Pretends like he's got to start fighting. Aye, calm down, big man. No, you're not.
Obviously, we're talking about Saturday and we're talking about how good performance it is. How does that fight go? Kobe versus Usman. How does that go? Because these guys are very, very similar.
Very similar.
Like, okay, there's certain differences, definitely, right? Obviously there is, but...
Well, Usman gets you down and keeps you down.
These guys are... That's going to be... Is it going to be a clash of styles? It's going to be one of the worst fights ever? Or is it going to be two guys at the top of their game, the same style, just trying to outdo each other?
I think it may actually be sensational. I think it could be one of the greatest fights we've ever seen.
Yeah, I was thinking the same. Potentially it could be.
Because I think as much as they're both as good as each other at probably most aspects of it, mm-hmm. I would say Usman's probably got a stronger punch. So one thing Kobe likes, I think, is actually a wee bit of power, maybe knockout power. Mm-hmm. Doesn't need it because he's just relentless. But when Usman puts you down, he keeps you down.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be interesting to see how Kobe could deal with that.
Yeah.
And I can imagine Usman's not going to struggle for pace. That pace isn't going to stop Usman for me, I don't think. Mm-hmm. Usman will be able to survive that pace.
Aye, Usman isn't going to be... Like, is he gas tank isn't going to run out?
No.
Anytime
soon? I wouldn't say so. You see what Usman done to, let's be honest, a high-class wrestler. All right, Woodley had a shocking odd performance, but he's still a high-class wrestler.
Mm.
A very high-class wrestler. And he made him look like a guy who's never stepped in an octagon before in his life. And it was just, I actually can't wait to see it. Fuck Masvidal has to piss off. That fight has to be made. You've got to put two best welterweights in the octagon at the same time. And
see,
Kobe and Usman are.
The three best welterweights in the world are Kobe, Usman and Edwards. So Masvidal should be nowhere near that. I said this to you the other night, how can a guy who's got a record of 2-2 in his last four UFC fights, when you get Leon Edwards who's 8-0 or something in his last eight fights, and Kobe? I mean, when did Kobe last lose? I mean, Kobe... These guys are on a tear. Neither of them should be sitting behind Jorge Masvidal.
Usman, Kobe, will happen. Has to happen. It has to be a title fight. They had that wee bit of biting back, wee bit of chit chat afterwards and all that, wee bit of aggro. Just builds on it perfectly. Builds that wee kind of wee story on top of it. UFC, I've got to start releasing some videos back for like UFC London and try and make a bit of sting about the Edwards Masvidal again. Because if they two fights on one night, same fight, tell Masvidal and Edwards, look boys, get yourself ready, make sure you're ready for 170, because if one of these guys pulls out before the fight is over, or before the fight starts, one of you is going into that title fight.
Yeah.
Because to be honest, Team Colby, Edwards, Masvidal, aye, fair enough, he's knocked a couple of people out, he's done it impressively, but he's not really beaten many people to get there. Well, it was two impressive knockouts.
Tills was something else. The asking one was just stupid, as I've said to you.
It was stupid for asking.
It was just
it was absolutely sensational tactics because you knew exactly what he was going to do. This is why I said about Robbie Lawler. For me, Robbie Lawler should be looking for an uppercut on Kobe, but whenever Kobe threw a couple of punches, he covered up, shot himself, and then Kobe got a takedown. I said, look, hit me a couple of times and then just fucking leather him.
Kobe is tremendous, mate, and it's... I really hope that the UFC sees sense and don't put Masvidal ahead of him and Edwards. There's absolutely no need for it.
Yeah.
No need for it. Masvidal should... I would say Kobe Usman's a fight to make, right?
Winning
of that fights Edwards, right? And then Masvidal can decide if he's still wanting a shot because he's going to have to fight somebody else in the meantime. Ponzinibbio's another one, by the way. I was thinking about this, right? See Ponzinibbio? Ponzinibbio's on something stupid like a 3-fight win streak. If you look at his record, I'm sure it's stupid. Like he's got like
he's
5 or 6 wins.
Aye,
but only because he's not fought because he's been injured. If you look, he's got a better record than fucking Jorge Masvidal.
True.
I mean, I'm just talking about guys who should be in front of Jorge Masvidal, and Ponzinibbio's another one. after that, there's nobody else really I would say is in front of him, but there's definitely at least two guys in front of Masvidal.
I think, as I said, the way you've got to go is Colby Usman, have that title fight on the night, big bang, I've got absolutely tremendous, and have Edwards, Masvidal on the same card.
No, we're being pure hypocritical here.
Because we said last week that
we were adamant of the winner of Leon Edwards versus...
I think when somebody goes out and puts a performance that's so dominant, I didn't expect him to be so dominant against Law.
Mm.
So dominant. He made Lawler amateur at times. He looked amateurish. And it was unbelievable to see. I can't argue with the fact that Colby now, or for that performance, deserves that title shot. All right, he's been the 11th guy in the world. He was pathetic on the night a wee bit.
But he's not pathetic in the terms of
what he has done in the past.
He's Robbie Lawler.
Always going to be there. He's one of these guys up there going about that top 10. Like, you've got to get by Robbie Lawler to get into that top 10 forevermore.
Yep.
Robbie Lawler will be 56 and he'll still be standing there being like, right, I'm number 10.
Yep.
Who's wanting it? He's just one of these guys. And I don't know what UFC are going to do. As I said, I think they fight so the fights to make. Have it one night, make it happen. Maybe December, maybe New Year card, maybe look at a new year card, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be perfect timing because they're talking about, obviously, I think MSG in November, start of November, and then you've got the early card in December, which Max Holloway was making nudges about fighting on. So,
yep,
I can see it being maybe the New Year card, something like that. I think that'd be good. I think it'd be perfect timing for it. So,
I agree.
I'm looking forward to it, man. Hopefully they do the right thing.
Oh, let's hope so. It has to be Kobe, 100%. What about the two old dudes?
Jim Miller? Didn't he look like old dude, though?
I know.
And he's only 35. He's not that old. Just because he's been about for 40,000 years,
yeah,
doesn't mean he's done. Like, he said about 33 fights or something in the UFC. Something absolutely stupid.
Absolutely.
He first fought in UFC 89 in 2008. Like, that was 11 years ago. He made his debut in Birmingham, England. That's quite funny. Now, fair play to John Miller, but this was a good fight for the minute it lasted because Clay Guida caught John Miller with a belt to the shot.
Nearly put him on his arse.
Nearly put him on his arse.
Literally about a millimetre and a half a grin.
John Miller caught Clay Guida as well, and then obviously he rocked him, got down, and then just guillotine the fuck out. Finish. Herb Dean. What is Herb Dean on at this moment in time?
See, I'd have a totally different way of looking at this from you. There's no way anybody could have told. Because even his hand wasn't wobbly. Like, there was no way he could have told.
I'm looking at this, right, and I'm thinking, right, Clay Guida's left-hand side, closest to the cage, right? But his head's under Jim Miller's left arm.
Mm-hmm.
So he's on the outside. So that should be easier to see. Or easier to see.
There was no way to see his face though.
No, it was hard to see his face, but
there's no way you would have known if he was out, mate. And I don't have any issue with Herb Dean. I've got an issue with Herb Dean with the Trevin Giles one, but we'll talk about that later.
See, I've got more of an issue with the Jim Miller and the Trevin Giles.
I said I don't because I don't know how you can tell. You can't tell.
You can tell for Trevin Giles.
He tapped. He was on the wrong side.
Yes, but he can't be in every side.
No, but he could have been standing and been able to see both sides of Trevin Giles. There's no
where
doubt.
Trevin Giles, it was like up the back of his arse.
Then he tapped on the floor as well. He tapped with his other hand, that's what I'm saying. He tapped underneath here, which you're never going to see, right? You're never going to see that. But then he tapped again. He tapped twice, mate, two different areas, and that's what I'm saying. That's why the Trevin Giles one for me was worse, because he tapped, and you could see he tapped. And there's no reason why Herb Dean couldn't have seen that. And even then, his fucking corner are fucking screaming, he tapped, and he's still going. I mean, that's why that was worse for me. Clay Guida, you couldn't see him.
You can't. No. I don't know. I really don't know.
There was another one that was a bad submission as well.
Oh, was it?
Was it Silva Williams?
I can't remember. I'm trying to remember. What
there was another one that was a bad one.
We only had four.
Was it not Shevchenko, Pudilova? That's what it was. Pudilova was out. But again, you couldn't. Again, a difficult one because you couldn't see because she was lying on her back.
Yeah.
So you couldn't see, but I don't have an issue so much with the Clay Guida one is because I couldn't tell. There was no way I known. You had to get, even when you lifted his arm didn't exactly go like floppy dead. His arm kind of, he lifted it and it seemed to move together as one.
I think when he did lift it, he wasn't out.
Yeah.
Then as soon as he dropped it, he went out.
I mean, there's no way in the world Clay Guida was ever fucking tapping.
Oh no, Clay Guida doesn't tap.
No, and the guys like I don't tap. But I don't have an issue with that one so much. If you can't see the face and you can't tell, mate, it's hard to tell.
Herpin was one of the best referees in the world, and recently there's been a...
No, not since I can remember.
Oh,
he's a disaster after disaster for years now.
Not for years.
Well, I can't remember a period of time where he went like 6-7 months without a controversy since I've been watching.
I think the last maybe 3 or 4 months, he's made some big mistakes, and he has made some big mistakes. I think before that, it was a fight. I'm trying to remember the fight. There was a massive fight going up. Me had to help Dean get the fight. And like,
that was Khabib.
Was it?
That's what I'm saying. It was like almost a year ago, mate. He'd had an absolute stinker about a year ago, and he got announced that he was refereeing Conor Khabib, and you and I went, are you fucking shitting me? Because Goddard or Mugliotta should have done it, but he done it. It was over it, mate. I'm saying, it's been over it. Over a year he's been having stinkers. But I don't think, like, it was really, the Trevin Giles one for me was really bad, but the Quagliaro one, I don't disagree, because the way his head was, you couldn't have told. Any best referee in the world wouldn't have been able to tell there. You just have to go with your judgment. He lifted the arm, looked okay, gave him another few seconds. Obviously was talking to Clay, you need to give me some sort of sign that you're awake, mate. And obviously nothing's went right, fuck it, stopped, and Clay was out. And that's cool with me, that's part and parcel of the game. Trevin Giles one was worse, because although you say he can't see everything, but he should be able to stand in a position where he can see at least, you know, the free arm of Trevin Giles.
I wouldn't disagree with that, but even then, as I said, I think they were quite close to the side of the cage as well, which made things difficult to get round the back to see the hand.
I know
obviously maybe his team shouted, look, he's tapped, but the referee's not going to take the team's word on it.
Yeah.
The referee has to see it. The referee's the guy in charge.
Yeah.
Obviously, Herb's going through a funny spell. Well, Mel and a funny spell now. But it was a weird night for Herb Dean, man. He's got to get off every smoke, I think.
What about the Afghani Nightmare?
Nasrat Haqparast was absolutely superb.
Absolutely amazing.
Brilliant. He just tore Joaquin Silva apart for 6 months.
Can I admit something here?
What?
I was watching that fight, right?
Uh-huh.
And I could have sworn they were welterweights at least.
Well, big boys, weren't they?
And then they were like, oh, the stacked lightweight division. I went, wait, sorry, what? Absolutely massive Haqparast is, and he's only 23.
Haqparast is a big boy.
He is a big laddie, man. He's not very tall.
He's 5'10",
same as me, but he's big, man. He is a big boy.
But he carries it well, he does well that way. He doesn't look thin, he doesn't look gaunt, he doesn't look like it's good to see. What a performance. Brilliant to see GSP there as well.
Always good to see GSP, man.
Always good to see GSP. He's always happy, man. He's always just sitting there enjoying himself, isn't he? He's just, what are you guys?
What a gym to be affiliated with, but I mean, wow. I mean, amazing.
Picked the right one, I think, anyway. Hopefully, I can see him going on and on and on, because he's got everything, I think, to his game. You've seen him at the end playing about on the floor with his coach, trying to do a bit of jiu-jitsu and all that. It was good to see, man.
Yep. What about we're talking about Trevin Giles tapping out. What about Gerald Meerschaert?
My surprise tonight, this was a different Gerald Meerschaert. He said that himself. He's like, my cardio and my strength, everything was just so much better. Fair play, it was.
I don't know if we reviewed him, right? We reviewed him against Hermanson. I remember that. But see, the last time we won, when he played Oscar Picota, right? We didn't have the podcast, but I remember watching him thinking, fuck me, this guy's a badass. Again, it was another technical submission, rear naked choke. I'm thinking, this guy's fucking amazing. Big boy, you know, of Belgian descent, I think he is.
Well, I'd imagine that's kind of Belgian.
With that kind of name. But he's something else. And then, of course, he came up against Hermanson. Hermanson fucked him. Kevin Holland decisions. I wasn't really that impressed. But watching him against Giles was the same guy that we watched fight Oscar Picota.
He was back to what he used to be. Oh, they amazing. Cut their fights against Hermanson and Holland. Things just weren't right for him.
Aye.
That's why... I was wrong. I backed Giles up big time. I really thought Giles was just going to come out here and run through him, because I really did. I thought Giles was actually really, really good at times.
Mm. That's a couple of bad ones.
Why the
had.
Hell did Giles decide that I'm going to roll about the floor with Gerald Meerschaert?
Yeah, I mean, that's what Gerald wants you to do.
He's desperate for you to do that. God, he took him down it one time. Big Gerald's like that, going, take me down, go for it. David. And he was so happy to do it. It was just weird, man. Trevin Giles is not that kind of fighter. Why he decided that was the way to go, I really don't know.
again, no much to say about it. For three rounds, it was a good fight, man.
It was a decent fight.
Good fight. Jeremy Usyk, I think, was edging it for me, to be honest, even in terms of...
Probably just, eh? Because it was mainly on the floor, that was a massive issue with it. So
yeah.
It was so disappointing that I seen the Trevin Giles done that for me, but that was the way he wanted to go and they get beat, so hell man.
What about the doctor stoppage? I fucking hate doctor stoppages, but I've got to admit this one was bang on.
Oh, 100% right, mate. This was absolutely bang on.
See, before the start of the second round, see when he was, I was like, oh.
See, did it happen? Yeah, I don't think this is going to last.
This isn't going to last, yeah.
The eye just went, and it just closed up so badly. I can't, fair play to him as well. Dong Hoon Ma, remember that?
Dong Hoon Ma.
He can actually come out and be like, oh, I can see no problem, I can see. And he never is like,
I love the fact that fighters got to be honest with themselves, man, because at the end of the day, do you know what? He's thinking to himself, you know, I'm only 30. I've got another potentially 7-8 years of this if I keep myself fit. If I go in there and get my eyes smashed up to absolute fuck because I can't see anything, I'm going to do myself damage. I love the fact that he was honest with himself. He was honest with his doctor and his coach.
I would like to think his coach made him into him, look, big man, you've lost 2 rounds. You're going to have to go to another game out with one eye. It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen, especially don't when you can't see left hands coming.
Don't take any more damage.
Yeah,
nah. Just if you can't see, tell a doctor you can't see and just get the hell out of there and go and fight another day. And that's what he done, so fair play to him.
But he deserved to lose anyway.
Oh, Scott Hall's been absolutely superb. I know he actually overweight and stuff like that, but.
Yeah, deserved to lose.
But I thought Scott Hall's been brilliant. We don't like fighters who are overweight one, so happy days.
What about, oh fuck, here we go, man. This is going to start World War III with you and I, this fight.
What, because
Kennedy and
Stojic won the fight apart from Stojic.
I don't have an issue with Stojic winning the fight, because Stojic for me won the fight 29-28, right?
Aye.
I have a serious issue with this, because I understand low blows are illegal.
Right.
Totally get that.
Uh-huh.
And if you're kicking a guy in the balls, that's fine.
Yes.
I get it. But my point to you is, I have seen guys do low blows twice in a fight and not lose a point.
Right.
Three times, I think, okay, aye, you should be losing a point. But losing 2 points for three low blows spread over 2 rounds, I think is harsh. I just think that's a bit harsh. He deserved to lose 1 point 100%, mate, because he done it 3 times. And the last one, he was raging with himself because he knew. But my point is, I've seen fights where guys ding somebody in the balls twice and get nothing taken off them. Fight goes on, the guy wins 30-27, whatever, and this guy locks 2 points for 3 kicks to the bollocks.
First one, well, I'm not a problem with that. That's what it deserves for. Yeah. First one. Second one, you'd be stupid. You need to kind of change things up a wee bit and just don't try to kick inside legs, because you've hit him once and now you've hit him twice. So you deserve to lose your point. Third one, you deserve to lose the fight for bumping the balls and not changing your game.
You tell me then, because how's that never happened before? I've never seen him get a point taken for having kicked somebody in the balls twice. Is
there rules for that?
No, I think it's up to the ref.
Right, so each referee's different.
But that's what I'm saying, it shouldn't be like that, mate. That's my point. I don't have an issue with Kennedy winning the fight, by the way, and I've got no feelings towards either one of these guys. I wasn't a massive Stojic fan or a massive Kennedy fan. I really couldn't give a flying fuck, to be brutally honest. But my issue here is, I just think it's a bit harsh. Like, it's accidental. It can happen.
Of course it can. But see if it's happening once or twice and you can't time that kick to kick him in the right place. Surely you've... See, you do that third one. That third one, see, if I was his coach, I would literally string him up. I would hang him. Because for me, that is sheer stupidity. Sheer stupidity.
I just think it's double standards, mate. I get what you're saying. I understand. I think if you kick somebody in the balls once with what the same move... Same kick, same place, same foot, whatever. Even if it was like one was right, one was left, you could understand, but they were always right foot, so he's making the same move every single time. I get that, I get what you're saying. The second one, first one more than the second one point. I've just never seen it happen before. I've never seen somebody get a point taken for two low blows. That's my point. And that's what frustrates me so much for Darko Stojic.
You could maybe go down another route, that's right. You could maybe, I'm trying to think football, right? Think football. You one foul. That's how you get one day. One foul before you get a booking.
Well,
it's very rare, unless your name's Scott Brown. You get one foul and you get a booking. So you get your booking. If you then got to watch what you're doing, because you've already been booked, so you're then going to get sent off if you make an up a stupid foul. And that's what he did. It is a foul. No matter what way you look at it, it's I'm not, three fouls.
I said that at the start, mate. I totally get the fact that it's illegal. You kind of kick somebody in the balls, but I don't know, man. I just think it's harsh. I think it's harsh taking 2 points for that. I really do. I think it's harsh. Just because I've seen it done before, I've seen people do it twice in the balls before and nothing's happened. And I think it's a shame for Stojic to lose 2 points for it. The third one, he probably deserved to fucking get disqualified, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
That's maybe what I would have been.
That's me getting back down the same route of warning, yellow card, red card, and football.
Yeah. Well, they need to come up with something official, something that says this is what happens when you do this.
I can't remember last 100%. Time I saw somebody beating the boys 3 times in one fight.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I feel
very rare. And that third one, I don't know if that was for show, but Big Kennedy crawling on the crowd was hilarious.
And then Stojic going, wah, and that big mad
pause. Like, am I so pissed off? Does this go down as one of the worst performances for a win in UFC history?
Yeah, Kennedy...
He's not good, man. He was a terribly bad fighter.
He wasn't good against Big Paul, and he was not good here. And I didn't think Stojic was that good.
No, I didn't think Stojic was that great either, but I just thought Kennedy was that bad. I really did. And to win that fight...
Do you think Stojic could cut 20 pounds?
Oh, easy. There's one problem, but he's solid.
I know.
He can't be losing a lot of weight to get down to that level.
That's what I'm saying. Because I can't see him being a threat. He comes up against somebody like Alexander Rakic or Johnny Walker, they're going to eat him for breakfast. And that's no disrespect to Darko. He's a scary looking dude. He's like a bigger version of Kiefer Crosby, man. He gives me the absolute fear. But
I like Darko as well.
I like Darko, but I can't see him being a threat in that division.
Nah,
mate.
I don't either, mate. I think you could be one of these guys who's definitely keeping the top 15. Just kind of, you've got to go through him to get the top 15, that type of guy.
Yeah, maybe.
Because he should have beat Kennedy. He did beat Kennedy. His performance was better than Kennedy's, but he lost all of a sudden a technicality, and it's just such a shame for him. And as you can see how angry he was with himself. You can see it, man.
Anything on the prelims? I know you said you've seen most of it, bits of it.
Match now. Good performance for a minute and a half it was on.
Tremendous.
Good player, we've done well. Jordan Espinosa, I expected more for Jordan Espinosa. He kind of disappointed me, to be honest.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I had a really bad night. We'll talk about that in a minute. Pissed off at the Claudio Silva one, because suddenly he was £5 overweight.
Six.
So six for me, sorry. That is six for me.
But it wasn't him that was overweight.
I was.
It was Cole Williams that was overweight.
I thought it was Claudio Silva. I think Claudio Silva's pretty jelly on himself.
No. Because he was a late transition, a late replacement, I think, and he also had travel issues. Apparently, he didn't arrive too late, so I think like there's genuine reasons there for it. It's not as if he's been unprofessional. I know we hate people who miss weight. Got to be professional, as I've said to you. There's got to be ways to do it, and he should have been ready for it. Even despite the travel problems, you should be in the right place to do it. So yeah, he deserved to be fined for it, but at least it's not a case of he's been there all week and he's just fucked it. He's like genuinely had some issues, which is fair enough. Antonina Shevchenko looked back to her best, although
I don't think she's brilliant. I think there's more to come for her.
I don't know, it was weird.
She's definitely got more there to come. She's a better fighter than obviously she's won the last two fights. She's still against Roxy. She's in there. I think she's just done enough to beat Podolova, obviously, and then just
I don't know, I thought Pudlova was doing well. I thought Pudlova was doing enough to
That's what I'm saying. Just doing enough to beat Pudlova. It does if she wasn't smashing Pudlova.
No.
Pudlova was actually quite good. She looked kind of... She's done well in Prague. She won her fight in Prague, didn't she? And so,
she didn't look very good. She looked a bit drained, Pudlova. I wonder if the cut wasn't good for her.
Yeah, she looked a bit thin, I thought. She looked a bit...
There was one performance on this card that really annoyed me, right? Mara Romero Barella. Hesitant, you know, we talked about this. This was so difficult to watch because I'm not saying I don't rate Lauren Murphy. I think Romero Barella is a good fighter, she's really good, but she just was so hesitant here. She seemed like she didn't want to stand and strike. It was a weird one for me. Lauren Murphy finished it, do you know what I mean? She did what she had to.
You can only beat the person that turns up.
Exactly. I mean, both of them were beat by Caitlin Chagagian. But it was just difficult to watch from Barella because she just was a wee bit like she couldn't throw punches. It was weird. Nothing else. You mentioned Machnell, Miranda Granger, the two girls on their debuts at the start to kick off show was actually a really good fight.
It wasn't that bad fight.
Miranda Granger was brilliant, I thought. Mickey Gall, another good performance by Mickey. He looks like he's settling down. He kind of came in.
I think there's more to come for Mickey Gall.
I think there is. I think it's been a lot. I think it's been really slow, mate, because obviously he came into the UFC kind of like an Aaron Pico type thing. You know, three and a half years ago, 24 year old, you know. Big boss fighting, you know, Mike Jackson and then fighting CM Punk and Sage, you know, these big show fights. And then obviously a bit of a wake up call with Randy Brown and then obviously Diego Sanchez kind of rolled over the top of him. So he's, I think he looked good for me. He looked really good. His engine was a lot better.
Do that slow ascent, that fast ascent, maybe going too fast.
You've got to lose a couple of fights to understand what it feels like to lose, and I think
you never have true one unless you've lost a fight, you could say.
He looked a lot more comfortable on Saturday night, that's for damn sure. Okay, what about the any point talking about the bonuses?
I don't have any complaints about the bonuses for a change.
Well,
apart for Colby.
Aye.
But then I don't want to give him, I wouldn't want to give Colby my extra money, so I don't care.
I would. Yeah, I don't know. Fight of the night seems a strange one.
It probably was, but like probably the two best fights on the night for me were probably two women fights. None of the guys' fights were.
Well, I suppose.
Mearshart Giles was a bit boring. It was good, but it was boring. It was a weird fight.
Yeah, I suppose. Fair enough. Can't argue. Yeah.
Oldsman was just better than Dom.
You probably could have given four performances. You could have given one to Antonio Shevchenko. And then maybe give one to Colby instead. But they won't give one to guys who won over 25 minutes though.
They're not the worst bonus you've ever seen.
Oh no. Did you see the wages?
I've seen bits and pieces, but I can't remember what I've seen and what I didn't. I know Colby never got paid a lot of money.
Fuck me, man. $45,000 to show. $45,000 to show.
And Jim Malley got like $200,000, he wanted to be like $200,000.
But he got he got a win bonus.
Yeah, that's true. He's doubled his money.
Robbie Lawler was the highest paid guy.
$35,000 or something.
Just for turning up. Mm-hmm. Just for kicking a ball, as they say. Ridiculous, man. It just winds me up so much, man.
His name spot, I know.
It's just contracts. It's the way the UFC do it, and I get it, but it's just crap, man. But, yeah. But what should we talk about now?
You absolutely pumping me.
The predictions, guys. If you follow our Instagram or our Twitter, you will see that me and Mark list our picks every fight night. And it's safe to say that Marky Boy got a little bit of a spanking this week.
Yeah, I didn't have a good night. I might just put my resignation to the table now and just call it a day, because that was shocking.
No, don't do that. I'm winning it off you. That fair was and square. Shocking. So Mark got 5 out of 12, which is, we always said, entering above 50% is good, I think, in a one-on-one fighting basis. So this was crap. But yeah, what does that say for my score, mate?
I don't know.
10 out of 12, man. That's pretty good. It's not as good as my 13 out of 14 that we didn't count back in March.
You're either
amazing or shit.
You're the empty team of you. I can make it an average and just win everything. You just.
I just like so shit, and then I'll have one good week and then back to being shit for four. Well, I'm turning a page now. This is me. This is me on the path to victory. Telling you.
Okay, we'll see you, won't we?
So we're going to have a wee look back at one as well. I didn't see any of it, so we can't really talk. Obviously, I've seen bits and pieces. I've seen Eddie Alvarez getting his arse fucking handy to him
for a minute and a half
and then choked him out.
Aye, I didn't really understand how that even happened, but
DJ was annoyed at himself because he took him 3 rounds to beat WADA, but the clips.
Fair play to WADA. WADA was tough because what I seen it, DJ was absolutely brilliant.
What I seen, DJ looked amazing. Like back to being an original DJ.
He was absolutely superb. WADA just couldn't deal with it. And he's a tough, tough guy, WADA. Fair play to him.
But I was surprised that obviously Bonario and Estequio both get beat. These are two guys that were at the top of their
division.
James Nakashima, our guy, went to 12-0. We said that, we mentioned that.
The man of hell.
You're a Scottish guy, Chris Shaw, got cancelled last minute.
But there's another Scottish guy put on the card.
There's another Scottish guy, yeah.
Andrew Miller,
yeah, but
he got beat as well, so.
Chris Shaw got cancelled, which is a bit rubbish, but Yeah, I mean, it's hard to talk about it because I've not watched it, but the bits I've seen, the guys looked really good. The
Martin Guy, and he won his title.
The ground pound was tremendous. Did you see it?
I've seen bits and pieces of it. It was superb, man. It's just, when's a pain in the arse? Because it's only like a Friday afternoon.
That's weird. I was sitting in my work and it was like, watch live now. And I was like, no, I can't. I'm working. But thanks.
I was in the golf course a lot. I started wondering about watching Eddie Alvarez, and I went to put my phone down to take a shot. I put my phone back up. The fight was over. I was like, what the hell happened there? How did that finish so quickly?
Took you a minute and a half to take a shot, didn't it?
I was putting. A couple of putts. Because I don't put one. I'm not that good.
So, yeah, decent night though by all accounts. And obviously, Eddie puts himself in the finals. After two very average performances, one where he gets spanked and one where he nearly gets spanked, he somehow managed to make it to the finals.
Average?
Yeah.
I think you're being kind to Eddie because I'm not average.
But remember, it's all about money.
Look, one got what they wanted, and yeah. Edward Foyang and the other boy whose name I can't remember, have now in very nice houses.
Edward Foyang, yeah, and
who pulled it there?
Oh, the Russian boy, the Kazakh boy, or the Azerbaijani boy?
I have. Ham and his family have now got a lovely big six bedroom house.
Okay, well, have a wee look forward now to Shevchenko versus Carmouche 2, UFC Fight Night 156, or UFC on ESPN Plus 14.
First things first, this is going to be the best poster I've seen for a while.
I like your poster. I like the flag. I seen a poster. What was the poster I seen? I seen a poster.
Because it went through.
Oh, the 242 poster. Could be body, you seen that?
No, I didn't look.
Aye.
I went through a wee spell where there's four or five really good posters in a row that just went pure crap for months. This is probably the best poster since that kind of decent wee spell we had. It's a good poster to see, but I suppose if you're going to Uruguay, your first ever attempt at this country, pardon me, you've got to make it. You've got to make a good, got to make a wee statement. So,
Is there
the card's not a statement.
I was going to say, is there anything on this that's making you absolutely buzzed? Like you said last week, obviously, you weren't that buzzed about Frankie and Max. Obviously, you weren't overly buzzed about Lawler Covington. Is there anything on this?
Yes. There's plenty on this for me.
Really?
I reckon there was five or six fights. There's now maybe four fights.
Mm-hmm.
Because even then, Kachenko versus Staropoli, I think, was very absolutely incredible.
Amazing.
I was so gutted that Staropoli had to pull out. But Kachenko's now fighting Gilbert Burns, and I really like Gilbert Burns as well, so I'm really, really buzzing for that. I really want to see that fight. I think that's going to be another tremendous fight. I think Kachenko pulled too much for Burns, but I'm really looking forward to
contrasting styles, obviously. Gilbert Gilbert wants to sub you.
But Gilbert can still stand in bag. That's the thing, he can stand in bag.
There is one fight on this card that's got me absolutely buzzing at my tits.
Vicente Luque versus Mike Perry.
Oh my god,
that's got war written all over it, man. I think Sheva and Liz Carmichael will need to wait and I'm putting a new mat down to take all the blood away.
Somebody said on one of the commentators, I don't know if it was Dom Cruise or John Anik, on Saturday said, oh, they're fighting like when you put your one foot each in the tyre. That's what that's going to be.
It's going to be like a tyre just banging each other.
They're both going to stand out, put their right foot out, and they're both just going to go, right, fuck it, let's do this, man, and absolutely bang.
How hard can you hit me, sir? Because I'm going to hit you even harder.
It's a massive fight, I think, for Mike Perry, because Luque's on a really good run, and they're talking about Luque being, again, another one of these welterweights that's on a really good run. Yeah. You know, he's in the same conversation as, you know, Ponzinibbio and fucking these guys. Mike Perry's obviously had a wee bit of an up and down over the last couple of years.
He's so hot and miss. Like, I think this is going to be a brilliant fight, but I think this could be one of his misses. I don't know why. I just think he's so inconsistent, Mike Perry, that he's won his last five. So there's a fair chance, I think.
See, if he wins this, he's on the same streak as Ponzinibbio, 6 wins. And Colby. Well, I think Colby's up to 7 now. I think Colby was 6, but. You know, these guys are.
It's weird because this fight, also, Luque's actually in the rankings, but I don't know what this fight does for Luque. He's just beating a really, really tough guy if he beats Mike Perry. It's definitely a brilliant fight.
It's definitely more set up for Mike Perry to gain from it, 100%. But it should be good, man. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing Bobby Moffat again. Last time I seen Bobby Moffat, he was brilliant. Barzola, again, another good fighter. we're just talking about Oscar Picota, because he was fight when he last fought your man
Misha.
Well,
he's going against an absolute legend of the jiu-jitsu game, Rodolfo Vieira, a guy who's been about for years. He's won pretty much every gold medal I think there's ever been to win in jiu-jitsu. His grappling record's insane. 100 wins, 9 losses.
How can a Brazilian win the European Championship?
Because it can't be a European Championship, if that makes sense. It
literally says European Championships.
Yeah, but see when you click into it.
Mm. They're all Brazilian.
They're all Brazilian. Every winner.
Maybe they're allowed because there's Portuguese. Yeah, he's literally won everything. He was being, you know, gold medal world champion. Oh man, this guy is nasty. Fucking hell, man. How many has he lost? He's 100 wins and 9 losses.
I just said that. Were you not listening?
No.
Obviously. 100 wins and 9 losses. 68 submissions in 100 fights. He said 5 MMA fights. He did 4 submissions. And he's knocked out a guy. This fight is not going the distance.
Absolutely not.
100% this fight is not going to happen.
Oh man, he's my one to watch.
Rodolfo Vieira is a fucking scary dude, man.
He's my one to watch, man.
So you're one to watch.
Unbelievable. Big Volkan Ozdemir and Ilir Latifi are finally going to throw down.
I actually think this is going to be a fight and a half. You know, buzzing? You're talking about like Luque and Perry earlier on, two of them standing in tiles, not fucking sure. I think this could be the same.
No, I don't think this will be the same. Because I think Volkan has a massive, massive advantage on the feet against Latifi because he's so big.
I so they are, but I don't think. I think Latifi's one of these guys when you hit him, he might get a wee bit angry and just start swinging back.
So, what I see in my head when I think about these two fighting,
what?
Now you sometimes see in cartoons and movies where there's a wee guy trying to punch a big guy and the big guy has his hand on the wee guy's head and the wee guy's swinging and keeps missing. That's what I picture in my head.
Volkan's still that big.
He's bigger than Latifi.
He's only 6'2. Latifi's 5'10.
Yeah, that's a big
so 3 inches. Nah, Volkan's desperate for a win here.
Oh, well, you robbed last time.
We got robbed, right? So you look at the scorecards and it looks bad. It looks like he's had 3 bad losses. He should have won his last fight against Smith and Cormier. He was just totally outclassed against Cormier. Smith.
I didn't think he was outclassed by Smith.
I don't think he was outclassed by Smith, but Smith was a better fighter on the night. Yeah. And I thought he beat Reyes on the night. So he's had 3 difficult losses. So he needs to go out there and he has to go and beat Latifi.
He has to beat Latifi.
Because Latifi's... I'm not saying Latifi's nothing. That's so harsh on Latifi. But he's never going to be involved in a title kind of shot or anything like that. He's just not good enough for that. Yeah. And he could beat Corey Anderson as well, so even he's desperate for that one. But he's fighting, he's a once a year man, but at the time, do you know what I mean? He's won fights in 2016, won in 2017, won in 2018, it was dead early, then won in 2018, it was dead late.
He keeps getting injured.
He's just.
So, what about the only Uruguayan, the only Uruguayan on the main card, Luis Garrigori? He's 11-0.
Tell me more, because I've got to be honest, I know he hauled up.
I don't know, he's 12-0, I don't know much about him, to be honest, mate, I was just looking.
Has he fought before?
Not with UFC, no.
I feel as though I'm being really stupid here, but I honestly haven't seen him.
No. He's just because he's local, because he's Uruguayan.
I think a Uruguayan on the car. I did wonder that before I seen this car, I wonder if there's any Uruguayans on him. Because you have to win. There's always got to be a hometown fighter at some point.
Supposed to fight in the PFL in May.
I wonder if he was
getting injured.
Or did he get injured?
Mm-hmm. And obviously he's come out and he's changed his plans. But there's obviously some of the guys on the prelims must be Uruguayan.
No, they're not.
Rogerio Bontarin, Geraldo de Freitas. No?
Not Geraldo de Freitas.
So the only Uruguayan on the card is your man. Well, do you know what? See, for that, I'm supporting him.
That's a tough night. Humberto Bandini before, I'm sure.
I'm sure he fought at Buenos Aires, did he not?
I'm sure he's lost his last 2 fights for Kemp, I'm sure. After rubbish.
Yeah, good. At least we know what we're talking about.
Yeah, it was really our selling that show of the night, isn't it?
Take Tisha Torres again, sneaking onto this card as well.
Seen that tough fight against Mariana Rodriguez, because she's 11-0, man, that's tough.
Mariana Rodriguez has fought, I think she fought recently.
Jessica, good winning against Jessica, Drew Miranda Marcos. Ah, she's unbeaten fighter, do you know what I mean? This is tough for Tisha Torres.
I like Tisha, she's good, man. She'll be good.
There's a lot of scene you actually look at this card you've done the last.
Again, there's names. What do I say every week? There's names scattered all over this, mate.
But like, man, I'm just on the record if you want to go like, wait a minute, there's fighters on here have not lost a lot of fights. Rallying Pavia is 18-2 against Rodrigo Buntarin, who's 15-1. But that's all the makings of a really good fight.
15-1.
Really has.
Some record, man.
There's a lot of bizarres on this card for obvious reasons.
Not South America, you would expect that.
So the crowd could be good. I hope there should be a few bizarres.
Argentina was fucking amazing.
Aye, so I'm hoping.
Was that one of our crowds of the year?
It was one of our
top three crowds of the year.
Was it not our crowd of the year?
No, Liverpool.
I thought we picked Uruguay.
We need to go back and check.
I think we picked Argentina just because we didn't want it to be Liverpool.
A bit harsh.
I know, I don't know why we did. I can't remember. But aye, so you can get, I don't know, two heavyweights. Cyril Gane, 3-0 versus Rafael Pessoso, 9-0, big Brazilian dude.
I like heavyweights. I love watching them fight, man. Stand and bang.
This is good fucking knockout run over, I think. That's
decent card, man. I see the stuff that's scarred over. And it's a breakthrough into another market. And we're always for them going to new places. So fair play to them. Yeah, looking forward to it.
I'll make a small prediction for this card.
Right.
It won't last long.
Nah, I don't think so.
I think there's going to be a hell of a lot of finishes on this card.
Yeah, I would agree. We never really talked about an event. We kind of skipped that.
Because we're getting to that now.
Valentina Shevchenko versus Liz Carmouche 2. You buzzing?
Aye, because I just love watching Valentina.
Yawn.
Why can you not love her? She's absolutely superb.
I find her so boring to watch, man.
Why?
I just do, man.
There's only one thing that really annoys me.
Mm.
The fact that she shouts every time she throws a punch.
Yeah.
Like, that is really irritating, but like, she has, she's the second best female fighter on the planet.
Aye, without a doubt.
You can't argue that statement.
She's a badass, man. She's a badass.
She's fucking frightening.
I can't see anybody getting near her.
No. That flyweight division is hers for as long as she wants to continue to fight. And she's only 31.
Even when we thought our sister was coming through and our sister could be a Roxanne Modafferi, you're like, yeah, even your sister isn't getting near you, hen.
No, she's just... She's
I think a Sheva versus Sheva would be amazing.
That is never going to happen.
Might.
Never going to happen. It's like the Klitschko's. Klitschko's never fought each other.
Slightly different. They were in they held different belts and fought for different organisations. These lassies.
But that doesn't matter in boxing.
I know, but mandatory contenders, not shit. This could happen.
This won't happen.
Could happen.
This won't happen. I've got 100 pounds on the fact this will never happen.
Sheva, knockout. Second round.
Is that your guess?
Yep. Might change the first round depending on how Liz Carmouche looks when she walks to the cage.
Liz Carmouche is a decent fighter, that's the thing. She's never... She alright, she faces that.
I'm not laughing at Liz Carmouche, that sounds so bad. I'm really not. I'm really, really not. What I'm laughing at is the fact that... me thinking about Liz Carmouche fighting Valentina Shevchenko makes me laugh.
This is just one of these ones, right, Valentina? Go and get your O back, go and get that loss back, go and get that defeat. Because Carmouche has already beaten her.
Fucking hell, I didn't know that. Doctor stoppage?
It was a while ago, but she has beaten her.
Doctor stoppage? I'd love that. I'm going to try and see if I can fight watch that before next weekend.
And do I know the only thing I would say about this card as well?
Mm.
Title fight on a fight night?
Yeah, that's weird.
Very weird.
Remember doing that with the women's in China?
China as well? Why? Are they trying to... It seems to be only the women, but when are we going to see a men's title fight on a fight night? We never will. I don't think we'll ever will. I think until maybe... Do you think that's where the flyweight there? Not the flyweight, it's the strawweights that you could have a massive fight. Whereas at flyweight, I don't think it's a massive fight that'd be made for a title. Because there's no many people in that division who's going to come and challenge Sheva.
Mm-hmm.
So having her maybe going and fighting and defend her title in a fight night is fair enough because it's not a massive fight. But
sorry, I'm just reading something about Valentina Shevchenko. I didn't know this. Her kickboxing career began in 2000 when, also at age 12, she knocked out a 22-year-old. Ah, right. Anyway, she's scary as fuck, man.
You know what I mean? Hitting the dark elevator. Anyway.
Really?
I don't know, by the way.
No, I'm not even going there. Right, cool.
No.
That's how we look forward to Uruguay this weekend. Hopefully it'll be good. Timings will be absolutely shite for the guys in the UK, but should be alright, I suppose.
I don't think it'll be much, Anna. I think it might be too bad. I don't know. I'm not even going to see what it is.
It's nearly West Coast America, Uruguay. That's same time zone. We're no far off. It's no East Coast anyway.
It'll be like
in the middle.
It'll be right hand side. It'll be close to Chicago time. Mm. 6 hours behind
that. I think it'll still be 3 o'clock in the morning before it starts.
I would be surprised.
Definitely. Okay, so Mr. Newsman, what hit me with it?
No, really, no.
I know.
Because there's only like what a lot of things.
Oh, there hasn't been very much. Oh, there is. I did see something today. Let me see if you got it on there in case I ruin it for you. Yeah, you've not got it on there.
Right, tell us then, you start off.
Johnny Walker, apparently rumoured to be fighting. Oh, it is there.
Are you fucking blind?
Because I thought you'd have Johnny first. Why would you have Corey Anderson first? Because
it was Corey Anderson on the title thing.
No, I've seen Johnny Walker, that's what it's not. But that's potentially, it's only a potential. Which would be good. Love to watch Johnny Walker.
You're against Corey Anderson. Johnny Walker.
Corey Anderson's a big fight for him because he's obviously ranked.
That's true. But anyway, shall I carry on?
Please do.
Well, we've already discussed a few bits of pieces for Uruguay, so I can leave them out.
Mm-hmm.
We've discussed Corey Anderson, obviously Johnny Walker, which is probably tremendous. Did you see the jumping knee last week for Contender Series? I meant to bring this up earlier on. You need to go and watch this. Alan Ruiz, Alan Cruz. Don't know when I get the Ruiz for it. What a knee this is. Like, Masvidal was lucky. In a way. This was not lucky. This was just pure skill. I was just frightening. And you go watch it, try and catch it, trust me. Your wee bird's back in the octagon. Well, you're one of many. Macy Barber.
Yeah, she's fighting one of my other birds.
Gillian Robertson. What are you going to do?
Mate, since I've seen it announced, I've been toiling with who I'm going to support in this one. I love Macy because she loves to stand and bang, but I love watching Jill grapple, man. She's tremendous. Contrast in styles. I'm literally not going to be able to call it. I'm afraid to.
No, probably not. That's Boston. So it's one of your favourite cities as well.
Which is?
Boston.
Oh, Boston, aye. Never been.
No. You need to go.
Should have went for that card. Aye, need to
bother. Vancouver's costing enough. Copenhagen's costing enough. Derek Lewis versus Blagoy Ivanov. I think the big yawn says it all.
I like Blagoy, but I don't like Derek Lewis. I think Derek Lewis is very boring to watch. Very
my
boring to fight.
Was hot.
What?
My balls was hot.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally just going to be two guys banging, isn't it? So
what would you expect? That'd
be good. That'd be good.
Luxury versus Corachera. That's another one. Fit for yes, you said Paolo. David Branch is out of Vancouver. Marvin Vittori obviously was supposed to fight David Branch. He's now getting Andrew Sanchez, which I think will be a better fight.
Was it not the other way about? Was Branch not supposed to fight Sanchez? Because Vittori's just fought. Has Vittori not just said, listen, I'll take it on short notice?
Yes, you're correct. My bad.
I'll keep you right, mate.
Thank you very much, mate.
Which is really good because Marvin Vittori versus Andrew Sanchez is 10 times Sanchez is 10 times the fight that it would have been with David Branch in it.
Yes, because I'm not disagreeing with you now.
I love Marvin Vittori, really good performance last time out, and Andrew Sanchez was really good against Barrio last time out, so this will be really, really good.
No, I'm not
Vittori, Vittori wants fight. To not get Hidaf and Sanchez wants to grapple you, so.
No, that should be a cracker of a fight, mate. Another couple of fights get made for that. Brad Katona, obviously, kind of a local boy, Canadian, on a card, fighting a guy with one of the greatest names I think I've ever heard.
Hunter Azure.
Hunter Azure.
Just Hunter Blue.
Basically, I don't really know.
That's cool.
No feeling that, but there we go.
What else we got in that?
Michel Pereira.
Nice.
Seen him a couple of months back. An absolute crazy knockout. He's fine. He's fighting Sergei Gondoshko.
Oh, Gondoshko, we've seen him as well.
So that should be a cracker of a fight, so I'm looking forward to that. Going outside the UFC, cut a fight announcement. John Lineker's debut has been made in one championship end October. He's fighting Morin Gafarev. That guy, I can't say that. Moin Gafarov. Gafarov, there you go, thank you very much. So, obviously, don't fuck all about Gafarov, so.
Well, we'll find out soon enough about him when Lineker smashes him.
Bellator have a few fight announcements next week. Not really been anything special. Obviously, got their debut in Milan coming up, so.
Is Carvalho Nemkov not part of the. Oh no, it's featherweights, never mind. That's middleweights, isn't it? Middleweights, because we were talking about who does Lovato Jr. fight and Rafael Carvalho came up, didn't he? So that must be middleweight.
So Carvalho versus Nemkov, actually.
Manhoff versus Yannick.
I don't know. I'm not interested.
I thought Manhoff was finished.
Manhoff is finished. You've seen him last time.
I guess we should maybe chat about the big news from this week.
Biggest news of the week.
And how it was handled and all that stuff.
It wasn't handled great, let's be honest.
It wasn't handled great, mate. That's the thing. It really wasn't. It was embarrassing for UFC. I don't understand what's happened. I really don't. It's bizarre.
It's very bizarre. Also, I can kind of understand. I think she ran her course a wee bit.
Aye, that's fine. I think it's definitely...
I don't want to issue with them getting rid of her.
No, it's just the way he's come out and said, you know, Osh doesn't want to fight Nunez, and she's sitting going, I want to fight Nunez, I want my belt back. And he's saying, you know, then when, apparently if you listen to the recording of them talking backstage, he's like, oh, I didn't really say anything bad about you and all this stuff, and let's sort it out, and let's be friends. And you're like, why, I don't get why he has his persona with the press. Man, I always thought Dana White was honest with the press and honest with the fans. It turns out here he hasn't really been, which is odd, mate. I really don't get it. But I think you're right. Definitely time for her to jump ship and go elsewhere. I hope she goes back to Bellator because I want to see her fight Julia Budd.
I think she will go back to Bellator because we know she's got a good relationship with Scott Coker. So there's no doubt that she'll end up back at Bellator. She's not going to go to one.
Well, they don't have him.
They don't have a division. PFL, maybe. She maybe needs to step out 155 because they've
got a little season though.
Exactly, so she need to wait to maybe the new year. I can't see her doing that.
No.
She didn't take a lot of damage in her last
fight. There's only one place for her to go, really.
Bellator. Definitely Bellator. I think you'll see her on a big card in Bellator. So it's another name for Bellator, isn't it? It's what they need. So.
It's a draw, man. People still like watching her, even though it's not everybody's cup of tea. It
destroys people. People want to see her fight.
I find her quite boring to watch, to be honest with you, but that's just my opinion.
It's a bit like... For me, watching Cyborgs, it was a bit like watching Kobe on Saturday night. They're better than the other person, they're fighters, so it just gets a bit boring after a while.
Yeah.
There's no competition in the fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what it's like when watching Cyborg. But as what it is, she's gone. We'll still be able to see her. She'll be on Bellator, so if you really want to see Cyborg, you'll still be able to catch her.
Yeah. Are you?
Yes. I just found out that the times for Uruguay, main card starts at 1.
That's good.
So prelims start at 11, then the main card at 1. So
that means I can watch. Oh no, I'm in Edinburgh. I don't see any of that.
I'll definitely stay up and watch the prelims then. Oh no, can I? I've got a wedding Saturday.
Well, that's good. Planned that well.
Aye, we'll catch one. We'll catch him on Sunday. We'll definitely get up Sunday morning and try and watch him.
Fantastic. Are you this week? Fantastic. Okay, one last thing from me, guys. Get us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter at InsideCageMMA. Give us a like, give us a follow. Give us a rating on any good podcasting sites you see us on. We're on Spotify, we're on Apple, Google, you know, all these Stitcher, all these good things. So get us on there, give us a listen. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.